The TangleCast is near. Be cautious. L. Psi. Congru.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 47 of the TangleCast, the official podcast for Beneath the Tangles. We're Team FTK, one of the three podcast teams. I'm not sure where you're tuning in from, but we'd appreciate it so much if you could subscribe to us on iTunes and write a review and comment. We'd love to hear how we're doing from you guys directly. Well, my name is David. I'm going to be your host for today. I'm joined by my castmate, Peter.
Always good to be here.
And Holly as well.
Hello.
Alrighty, well, every time the TangleCast airs, we always ask a cast question that we as a cast answer, and then we open up for our listeners to submit their answers as well. And we want to interact with their answers. So last time, we asked, what was your highlight of 2018?
Alright, I'm going to read this one from Kokoro Daki. The biggest thing from 2018 is God showing them their purpose in life, at least for maybe the next 10 years or so, and help me find direction toward that. And it's been so refreshing to have something to move towards instead of feeling stagnant. And we also have Thaumaton. Their sister gave birth to the cutest niece in the world. I guess those are both very uplifting because they're both similar. You know, like new life is born.
Having nieces is the best because I have two. Two bundles of joy. Alrighty, so next we have Pocket Size Cosplay saying they went to Disney World. And Little Pink Witch said, my highlight was my mom's birthday in February, and it was the first time in a long time that our entire family was together, and we had a bonfire outside at night, and it was really super cozy and nice. And he or she also tried ramen for the first time, and I bet that was pretty good.
I'm sure that's Japanese ramen, right?
Yeah, we're not talking about like Maruchan ramen, right? not the first time trying
like they've
that.
They've never had like instant ramen, or is it? I'm sure it's real ramen.
I'm sure it's Japanese ramen.
I'm sure. Hopefully, maybe, but yeah. Who knows?
Well, for me, Tyler from Facebook says, my highlight of 2018 was my first anime convention at Yamacon and getting to write an article for Beneath the Tangles. We have Half Shade from our Instagram saying going on treks twice. Now I'm guessing going on treks means going on hikes or something. And that's awesome. I love the outdoors. And we're also going to be going to an anime convention all together as a podcast team.
Yeah,
in which you, the listeners, will also be able to join us through Instagram and stuff as well. So we're really excited for that.
I think we're going to be cosplaying for that, right?
Oh, no. I don't know about that.
We'll see.
Most likely, we'll all be cosplaying something for that.
Have your minds open before,
like, I'm a slice of life school kid when he's out having fun in t-shirts and jeans. So
no, you're going to have to put on that school uniform
or something.
If anything, you'll have to go with the school uniform.
I mean, that's better than, you know, some other stuff.
Alrighty, well, we want to move on to our new cast question. And so the new cast question for this week is this. What was one anime that was surprisingly better than you expected?
Ooh, I have one right away. You guys probably won't like this because it's slice of life, but it's Ballroom Iyokoso, or Welcome to the Ballroom. I doubt you guys have heard it.
I've never heard of it, sorry.
Yep, there we go. The slice of life haters. But pretty much it's about like this middle school kid who feels like he doesn't have direction. I think he gets bullied. I can't really remember that. And he just doesn't like really have friends either. And then he kind of, you know, finds ballroom dancing and he like goes into that. I didn't know what to expect because I thought it was going to be like kind of, it's like ballroom dancing, right? How fun could that be? But then it's like super interesting.
Do they actually go over the moves like salsa and all that?
Yeah, they actually do like all the types like waltz and salsa and some of the other, I don't remember the other ones, but I mean, it's kind of like a sports anime because there's like competitions and everything. He's like, you know, striving for that goal of winning a competition or doing that stuff. And so that's why it was like super surprising.
Okay, that I can see how that might be cool. For me, it was Boku no Hero Academia or My Hero Academia. Holly actually recommended this to me and I couldn't watch it. The first time she told me to watch it, I watched two episodes. I was like, I can't do this. It's shonen. It feels super generic. Like this weak kid's going to become strong and he's going to become the savior of the world. And I dropped it. And I actually got on the train really late. If you guys listen to our past podcast, we did talk about Boku no Hero Academia and how it might actually become, you know, one of the top shonen animes. And so with that said, man, it was surprisingly good for me. I mean, there was hype, yes. And I thought because of its shonen nature, I wouldn't enjoy it. But I've been really liking it. I'm excited for season four. It was interesting. I never thought I'd get into a shonen anime again, and Boku no Hero Academia proved me wrong.
You're welcome. You're welcome, David.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Holly.
My anime that I thought was surprisingly good was Netju no Suzume, which is also called Recovery of an MMO Junkie. Have you guys heard about that?
Ooh, yes. This is one slice of life anime I have watched.
David told me about this one.
Wait, was
Isn't
it after
that crazy?
I told you? Wait,
no,
how did
no,
you
no,
find
no,
out?
No. I actually found it when it first aired. So I started watching it as it came out. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think he thought it was like, oh, MMO, like Sword Art Online. I think that's what he kind of told me. And then he was like, oh, but it's not. But I forgot that he thought, I think he still thought it was good, right, David?
Yeah. I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was interesting. And it kind of spoke to me. But yeah.
Oh
we'll
my
let
gosh,
you talk
me
about
too.
It.
I thought it spoke to me too. Because it was like, while I was watching it, it's like, oh, is this me?
Like, right? It's pretty close to our stage of life.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah. Super good. You guys should check it out.
Well, man, so let us know your answers, guys. Everyone who's listening, we want to know what you thought was an anime that was surprisingly better than you expected. And we're excited to see your answers, and we want to read those the next time we come together. Well, we want to move on to a new segment for the podcast. And this new segment, I'm going to give it to Holly to MC it.
Alrighty. So today we're going to be playing a quick game called Anime or Animate Up. Get it?
Who made up the name?
What's happening?
Hey, where's the enthusiasm?
What's happening?
So I'm gonna So I'm gonna use some summaries from Anime Planet or those kind of websites, and I'll be giving you guys some descriptions of animes or whatever I like thought of, or some other like summaries from either movies or whatnot. And you guys have to guess if it is a real anime or not. And if you think that it is a real anime, I would like for you guys to try to guess the title.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Man, I think I know more anime than David. So, you know.
Yeah. Let's go.
I'm the resident anime expert. So.
Okay.
We'll
try.
See who wins.
First
I
one.
I mean, she has to say the name, right?
Wait, what name? The title
like the name?
Name
of the character?
Oh, no. I'm not going to do
that.
Oh,
okay.
It's just he, she, they, you know?
All right.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. Numero uno. Without remembering how they got there, several strangers awaken in a prison of cubic cells, some of them booby-trapped. There's one police officer, scientist, mathematician, master escapes, genius, etc., like those kind of skilled people. And they must all use their combined skills to escape this cubic maze.
This sounds like a movie I've watched called The Test or something like that.
This sounds like a Chinese anime I watched. I don't remember the title, but oh man, that sounds like it could be an anime.
So David thinks it's an anime, and
I
Peter
think it's an anime.
I think it's a movie. I think it's a movie because I feel like I've watched this movie, and I'm pretty sure it's called like The Test or like The Quiz or something like that.
Alrighty, so it is called The Cube, and it's a 1997 movie.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
it is a movie?
Oh, it I didn't is know. A movie.
Oh, wow.
Oh my gosh, you're a genius. Oh,
Peter, so
no, but
close.
I don't think it's the same movie I was talking about, because I think the one that I saw, it was like in 2010 or something, or a little after. Like early 2010s. That's why I'm confused now. I didn't know there was another one.
Oh no, I got the first one wrong.
1-0, David.
It's okay. It's okay.
1-0. Okay, 1-0.
Alrighty. Next one. A substance exists without any purpose aside from it simply being a quote unquote being. They come in all sorts of forms and are capable of anything. So why do they exist? This is the one question that the protagonist researches to find out. What do you guys think?
This sounds like an anime. I don't know. Gut feeling, I say it's an anime.
Okay. But no title yet?
I don't know what this anime is, but I feel like just from like the description.
Okay.
I don't know. It sounds a little bit generic, don't you think?
I mean, it kind of does, but
like something that I wrote.
Oh gosh, no, I'm kidding.
Like it kind of sounds like, you know, there's like a scientist or something. They're going through their everyday life. They're trying to figure out what's going on. And so it's about stuff that has come into being.
Is it like Parasite? But I never watched Parasite, so.
Oh, you never watched Parasite?
I haven't.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say it is anime up.
Oh, wow. I didn't think you'd actually use that.
Yeah, thanks lame. For using the title. Okay, so David thinks it's something I made up, and Peter thinks it's an anime. You ready? This is an anime called Mushishi.
Oh my goodness, you know Mushishi? What? I actually thought of Mushishi at the beginning. I legit thought, is this Mushishi?
Goodness.
And then I thought, no way. I don't remember that being the description. Oh my goodness.
So the description says Mushi is the substance,
right? Okay.
Oh, that's what it is.
I read that synopsis not that long ago, so it sounded super familiar. Oh, I actually thought Mushishi, but I thought there's no way.
Does David have negative points, or does he just have 0 points?
Let's give him negative 2. I think that's better.
Wait, negative 2?
Yeah, that sounds fair.
Okay.
Negative 2 and plus 2.
Maybe we can
2.
Have the next one be like double points.
Be 4 points.
Double points? Okay.
Yeah, so I can come back.
Okay. Alrighty, next one. She is energetic, curious, and a bit odd, as well as ignorant of many things that even an 11-year-old should know. Because of this, the most ordinary experiences can become an adventure for her. One day, she receives a mysterious, oversized package, and the last thing she expects is for it to be opened from the inside by a little magical monkey gifting her a wand.
Oh my this God. Is anime up. I'm sure. This is anime up because she's taking the plot from another anime and she changed stuff around. That's my guess. Peter, what about you?
Oh, it sounds like Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. No, for me, it's like this like mummy. Something about this little mummy friend. Like that. It sounds like the description for that anime, and then she kind of switched stuff around.
Yeah,
and changed
it. I don't really watch like magical shoujo girl like shows, that's what I'm assuming this is. So like I'm gonna say it's anime.
I'm gonna say it's anime. Or it's not anime, it's animate up.
So David animate up and Peter anime. This one is a mixture of Yotsuba and How to Keep a Mummy that mashed up, so
yes.
I just made it up.
How to Keep a Mummy. I knew it.
How to Keep a Mummy.
Dang, I don't even know. What is How to Keep Your Mummy?
Oh my gosh. You will love it so much. Just watch until the third episode, okay?
Yeah, okay. I think that's what I did. I think I watched 3 episodes of that anime.
Okay, so me and David's at 0 and I'm at 1.
Mm. Okay. Last one?
Okay.
We're 2 points.
This is just for the win? This is for the win?
Yeah, this is for the win. 2 points.
Okay.
This is about a girl who makes a wish that she would have the courage to be reborn as her would-be self. The next morning, she finds 3 brightly colored eggs in her bed, and each egg hatches into a character that is of who she would be, and it basically helps fulfill the person's dreams.
Gut feeling it's an anime.
Oh man,
it sounds pretty anime.
It sounds pretty anime-like. That's true. I'm gonna go against my gut feeling and say it's anime up as well.
So for Peter, since you said anime, would you say you know the title or no?
Well, because you're saying that, now that I think it is an anime, but
yeah,
I would not.
No, you can't change your answers. Okay, so David said animate up, and Peter said anime.
Yeah, I'll stick with that. Animate up. Yeah,
I would not know the title, but it sounds like it definitely sounds like something from anime.
So it's one of the anime that I liked. It's called Shugo-chara.
Shugo-chara.
It's a pink-haired girl with 3 eggs, and then they all hatch into like little fairies.
Man, I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
I didn't even watch Sailor Moon growing up, so.
Oh, okay. But yeah, that was all I got for today. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Good game, Peter.
Peter won.
Good game. I mean, for the last one, it's like, I think it can be an anime because it sounds like one, but whew. That was good. Well, let's get moving on to our main segment. We want to talk about the rising of the Shield Hero. And so before we begin, I just want to give a synopsis. Stories of old tell of 4 otherworldly heroes, wielding the sword, spear, bow, and shield, who defended the land from wave after wave of calamity. With the fate of the world in balance, the kingdom of Melromark summons these legendary figures. In modern-day Japan, the call is answered, and the unwitting heroes are transported to this fantasy universe. Thrust into Melromark and given the title of Shield Hero, Otaku Naofumi Iwatani is labeled the weakest due to his lack of offensive capability and apparent inexperience. When the heroes part ways to start their journeys, he only has one willing companion, the beautiful princess Malti Melromark. However, she soon betrays him, steals all his money, and accuses him of taking advantage of her. For his alleged crimes, Naofumi is branded a criminal and made outcast of society. With hatred filling his heart, he sets out alone, vowing vengeance against those who wronged him. Man, this anime was surprisingly good.
I would have to admit that as well, and I'm very sorry for saying that it was quite generic last time.
I am sorry as well, Peter.
Yes, the apologies, please come flow in.
It is my bad.
Yeah, honestly, I thought it would really be like those generic type of anime, like four weapons and then like there's a good and an evil.
But I know.
It's a lot deeper than just that.
I think what animes are doing pretty good nowadays is adding that kind of special thing about them. You know how Goblin Slayer had that one scene that was super controversial? Well, even with Shield Hero, there was some controversy with that first episode, which I think is part of like generating interest in it. What do you think, Peter?
I don't think that Shield Hero was kind of like brought on this season because of that. Not that you're saying that, you know, like because of the controversies or whatever is that's why it's like getting big and that's something that's making anime popular. But I think this was, like I said last time, it was like a really popular light novel that a lot of people read. And that is really what kind of, you know, makes everyone want to watch it. And that's why it was good.
Yeah, for me, like one of the things that really drew me into it was the fact that he has a shield. Like, how is a person with the shield supposed to level in an RPG? I've played a lot of RPGs. I've never seen a shield hero.
Are you sure? Have you ever played Kingdom Hearts?
No.
Goofy has a shield the whole game.
And he has no sword.
Oh. No sword. He just fights with his shield.
I see.
But he's in a team setting, right? He's not fighting.
That's true. Yeah, he's not by himself. Yeah, he is not by himself. So it does help.
Yeah, I was like, how can a guy with a shield do anything? How are you supposed to kill anything when you have an item that gives you defense?
So for me, I thought that that shock factor was what got me into this anime. Like, definitely the shield part added on to the shock factor because of how, like, hopeless he was after that whole accusation and being kind of like kicked out, not kicked out, but like he left losing everything, right? Like zero money, zero equipment, no offense, no supporters. And then he has like this shield, like what you said, like how can he survive with the shield? So I think for me, it was the shock factor.
I think for me, there's also that huge like motivation and drive to prove yourself, right? When you're the underdog, when you're at like level zero or level one and everyone's hating on you and they're saying, look, you can't do it. You're useless. Nobody likes you. There's no way that you can contribute anything useful. Just don't be a liability. Peace out. And it kind of makes me feel like, oh, you know what? I'm going to show you what I can do. See me in like a month and I'm going to be leveled up like crazy.
Yeah, I think that it's like a testament to his own character that he does that. Because, you know, there's a lot of people when, you know, you're saying that like, oh, people hate on you because you're not that good. And then like, you kind of know it. Like, he kind of knows, right, that he only has a shield and he can't really fight anything. And he's kind of downtrodden on that. And a lot of people, I feel like, would give up. But, you know, it's just a testament to him. Because I feel like even though he knows that, he's like, oh, I'm still a hero. I still have to do something. Like, and I'm going to get back at them for, you know, wronging me. You know, I think that's like a good part of his character and definitely helps like mold him into who he is, like to letting us know who he is.
Definitely, I do see that how he has to fight through the main theme being like injustice, right? In the first three episodes, and how he does have to fight through that and have to be molded through that. But I feel like instead of me focusing more on the hero or Iwatani or Naofumi, I'm focused more on being so angry at the mean people, like Melty Mel Remark is, and then the Lance and everyone.
Yeah,
else.
I think that's really understandable. Well, speaking of which, let's kind of get into that. So I think injustice is a really big theme that's present in this anime. Just the feeling of, man, he doesn't deserve that, or something happening that you don't deserve. And what's interesting about injustice is it's something that we all feel, right? Mm. So I think it's awesome that the writers kind of use that to even speak to the people that are watching. That said, is there something in your life, like recently that's happened, where you felt like, man, that was not right? I feel like I've been wronged.
For me, I feel like since I'm doing like part-time jobs and everything, and I'm there for a certain time period, for let's say like it's 8 hours or so, right? And there are times when I even skip my lunch because it's so busy and I need to work for the area or the place. And I'm like running around so busy, like doing my best. And then there are customers that kind of don't appreciate that, or they don't show that. And they don't see the background work and what I'm doing, but they're angry at something that has happened the day before or like earlier. And it's not something that I took care of. Like if I took care of them, then it would have been done. But they're angry at something because someone else caused it, but they're putting it all on me. And that's when I'm like, in my heart, like deep down, it's like, ah, oh, like, I don't want to help them, but I have to help them because like they're not angry at me. They're angry at the situation, but it's still like the fire is still burning me, you know?
Yeah, that totally makes sense. For me, I recently went to the Apple store because my phone has some problems with it. It almost seems like the screen is coming up out of the phone. So I thought it was an enlarged battery just because of age of the phone that the battery is getting enlarged. And so I took it in to get checked out. And of course, even if you make an appointment, you're gonna have to wait like an hour when you get there. And so I went there, I waited about an hour. I finally got to see someone and they told me, hey, look, I think you've pretty much assessed the problem correctly. Let me go take it to the back, see what's exactly going on, and then I'll bring it back out to you. So I said, okay. So I was waiting there. Well, he's in there for, I don't know, maybe 15 minutes. And he comes back to me and he says, hey, man, I'm sorry, but we can't do anything for your phone. And I said, well, what do you mean? What do you mean you can't do anything? Is it broken or what's wrong? And he said, well, we think the battery might be a problem, but it seems like the screen is actually not an authentic Apple screen. It's a third party that somebody has put in.
Wait, what?
And I was like, wait a second. So you're telling me that this iPhone that I got from you guys last time I came has a third party screen on it. How does that make sense? He's like, well, you must have taken it in somewhere to get your screen reworked. Somebody must have changed it out for you when you weren't looking. Or did you forget maybe that you went to a shop and you had it work done on it? I was like, no. Listen to me. I bought this phone from this store. There is no reason for it to have a third-party screen. And then I remembered the phone was refurbished.
Oh.
So you bought it like refurbished on the Apple store?
So like the Apple store gave me this refurbished phone, right?
Oh.
But what I think happened is that somebody had used it. Maybe they had broken the screen, so they replaced it with their own and then returned it to Apple as if it were completely fine. And then Apple just kind of kept it. And that's the phone that I got. Because the screen like isn't genuine Apple, that's why he said it's kind of starting to pop out. Because it doesn't fit exactly like it's supposed to. And man, I was angry.
Yeah, I'd be upset too. Like if I got it from that store and they said it was like officially Apple refurbished. Man, yeah, I feel you, man. I'd feel really wronged.
And the thing is, I wanted to talk to like a director or some sort of management, like their boss. But I had a research paper that was due in like 4 hours. It's just that I still went to the Apple store anyway because I wanted to fix my phone. And so I couldn't stay there to actually talk to anybody in administration or in charge. And so I had to go back home. And that drive back home, the whole time, I was so angry. I just couldn't. Yeah, I just couldn't. I felt so wrong.
Did you even end up finishing that research paper?
I did. So I finished the research paper and I turned it in. It wasn't, you know, the best research paper. And my thoughts are still kind of all over the place because of, you know, my emotions from that cell phone incident. But yeah, I mean, that was like an example of injustice that I felt I experienced not too long ago.
So do you kind of feel like that is still affecting you? Like the injustice that, you know, they gave you? Or are you just kind of like whatever now because of that?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of see it as, you know, it happens. Like injustice happens. And it's a real part of life. Which I think is awesome how in this anime, they bring that into the anime. And they're saying, hey, look, injustice is there. And injustice is real. Just like it's real in real life. Let me show you that in the context of anime. I think the last episode we had, or maybe it was 2 episodes ago, I talked about how anime is such a good medium to use to get people to think about stuff or to present ideas or concepts in a way that's kind of more easily digestible. And I think that happens really well with Shield Hero too. Now in Shield Hero, there is injustice, right? Especially when he's accused falsely for rape. All of his stuff is taken away. He has no gold. All the people in town are against him. All the heroes are against him. He's utterly alone and he has nobody helping him. when that happened, when those series of events happened, what were you guys thinking in your head?
I was just like, I can't wait for the shield hero to overpower all of them. Like, I can't wait for him to end up like victorious and like outshine all of them. Cause like, they were so frustrating. They were so frustrating that I ended up reading the manga and I ended up finishing the manga. I caught up in like 4 days, but
just to see if they would get any better.
Yeah, like that's how frustrated I was. Like, I wanted him to like squish all of them. And I won't release anything what happens, but I had so much hatred towards them.
Yeah, mine was kind of different. I think I was watching it with David, actually, the first episode. And when it was all going down, I was like, man, this is stupid. Because this like thing that's happening is super cliche. And I was just getting so frustrated actually at what was happening. Because I was like, oh, man, this is such like a dumb like plot point, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, when it all comes down to it, like, yeah, it might have been like partly that, but it is frustrating. Like when you see that happen, you know, I think I was also mad at like those guys that were betraying the shield hero. And what is his name? Naofumi?
Naofumi.
Yeah. And then, you know, like in every anime, it's always the underdog that comes back at the end. You're like, yeah, you know he's going to do it. Like, you know he's going to do it, and you just can't wait for that moment. But, you know, we're not going to, probably not going to see it, maybe. But yeah, because, I mean, he's a shield hero. And so, like, the thing I was thinking about a lot is because he's, like, the, like, defense is that he would be, like, the bigger man, right? That's what I'm kind of like assuming. Like, he's going to be the bigger man because he's like the shield or kind of like the heart. You know, he has like heart and like lives and a lot of health. So he can take all the hits, things
yeah,
like
he's
that.
Like, you the know, tank like, of the team.
Yeah, like the
he's
tank.
Supposed to be the tank. Yeah.
Wow. That was very, very deep.
Yeah.
That part where you said him being the bigger man, wow. That just blew me away. And that's probably because I read.
Oh, I thought you're not going to give anything away. I was pleasantly like surprised that they did show his emotions, you know, at that point. Because usually most characters like in the situation would be like, oh, I'm going to be the bigger man at that time, right? The protagonist is always like the kind-hearted, like, you know, I'm not going to like really say anything too much. Just going to kind of keep it in and kind of sulk about it, usually. Like, you're usually just sad, but this guy's like angry, right? Really showing like the true emotions of how a real person would do it. So I really like that and how they reflected like a true human's like nature, like in getting mad when someone does you wrong.
I think for me it was really similar, and I actually got really angry at the people wronging him too. I remember when we watched it, we're like, oh no, she's going to rob him. Oh no, it actually happened. Are you kidding me? Oh my, and all the people go against him. I just hated how the other three heroes just blindly decided to accept like the NPCs. Like, it would be an NPC to us, right? The NPC
yeah, that's true.
Story of this false rape accusation. Well, I guess they might not know if it's false or not, but wouldn't you side with your own teammates? I just thought that was so not nice of those three to instantly kind of put him away like that. And
wait,
I got angry at them.
You actually anticipated her to be evil?
Yeah. Yeah, David did.
From the,
at the very beginning.
From the very beginning?
When he decided, hey, I'll go over there.
Oh yeah. My gosh. You know, I totally didn't expect that at all. So the betrayal factor hit me so much more. Like, I was expecting her to be like the new sidekick and like,
oh,
yeah, it was totally different than what you would have thought.
Yeah, so I expected her to do that. So I was looking for clues, and they show like kind of some stuff where it's like, oh, okay, it makes it look like she's going to do it. And then it happened. Well, I think one of the things we all have in common is that we felt some antagonism towards the people that wronged him. And I think that's a very natural response that we're supposed to have. It kind of invokes that emotion within us. Oh man, somebody gets wronged. We should be angry for him, angry at the injustice done. And I think usually what happens is that translates to the person that did the wronging. And we associate them with negativity and we put them in a bad light. Oh man, that princess, she just wanted the money. Oh, that princess, she can't be trusted. Oh, that princess, man, she's a terrible person, right? I think that's kind of what we naturally just go towards, and not just in anime. So I think that's what happened in the anime for me. But I think even in real life, when we encounter injustice, isn't that kind of what we do too? Where we kind of put the person that's committing this crime or this person that's committing this wrong deed in a bad light. It's hard to put them in a good light.
I feel like in general, what you said was true. Like, even in my personal experiences, it's once you see a person and your first interaction with them is bad, or like your first experiences are bad with them, it's hard to change that first encounter thoughts of them. Like, let's say they did something rude to you in the beginning, or like they didn't do a certain action to you in the beginning. Then from that point on and onwards, it's really hard for me to like change my thoughts about them. And if they were to do a criminal act, then towards me, or like something to wrong me, then honestly, I would just go on a rampage on like, oh, this person is this person, like the adjective. And like, I think not just me, but maybe everyone would kind of agree, like somewhere deep inside, if they were to see a situation where there is a criminal and then a victim, we tend to focus on just bashing on the criminal. And in a way, like you end up kind of remembering the criminal more than the victim. And in a way, because you're remembering what all the criminal did, like it's kind of making us feel better in a way. Like they do these kind of crimes and stuff. Humans don't want themselves to be like the bad people. Like they want to be the good people.
When even on social media, right, we always want to compare ourselves to other people. And, you know, either when it's like, oh, these people are having so much fun on these vacations all the time, and why can't I have a life like that? You're also comparing it in a way to like criminals. You're like, oh, they're like, there's a lot of bad people in this world, but I'm not that bad. So,
right.
Yeah, I think that's the main point that we're kind of going towards, that feeling of, oh, they do that kind of stuff? I would never dream of doing that stuff in my life. I am not close to that. I am not bad. Therefore, I'm good. And people want to think they're good. I think generally that's something that people want. And that's not the best thing. It's never the best thing to compare yourself to another person and then make a inference, I guess, about yourself. You want to compare it to something that's not changeable. You want to compare it to something that doesn't move. And so I think, you know, that comparison and saying, hey, man, I'm actually better than this person is a really bad thing that happens, but it happens all the time. It happens all the time.
It's something we just need to work on. And once we figure out that we are doing that, it's like, just have like a self-reflection moment, stop yourself, and then try not to do it. I think that applies to everything in life. Like you do something bad that you know you're doing bad, just stop and then self-reflect and then try not to do that.
Yeah, I think that's really awesome. And that's a good suggestion, Holly. Well, I think another concept that kind of plays with this injustice theme is a theme of love and grace towards other people. So they kind of go hand in hand. The shield hero suffers injustice, but then how does he respond? Yeah, he is angry in the beginning. Yeah, he says like, I'm gonna do this on my own and I'll help you guys, whatever. Let's see what happens. But in the end, what happens? What happened in episode 3, I think, was so great in that it was the saving of the city of Lute, right? What do you guys think about that part happening?
I thought it was very, very human-esque, like we keep talking about. It's something that like we would all do, right? I feel like, especially since he's like a hero and he has that capability. And he's like, oh, you know, I really don't want to like save them. Why should I save them? Because, you know, this world has already wronged me so much. Like, there's no point. But, you know, they're people too. Like, even though they're not, I guess, like the people of his world, but they're the people who he's meant to save. And he has those morals. And it's kind of like the fight within our nature, right? We really don't like these people, but we still see them as humans. And there's still like that bit of like mercy, that bit of grace we have onto people. Like, no matter what, you know, that's why people like say, you should be innocent until proven guilty, right? We always like put the blame all the time, like directly, even though they're like, might be indirectly to blame, or they were just part of the situation and not even part of it. You just kind of like say like everyone's like that. You're just kind of judging everyone. But then, you know, they might have not done it. There might have been a reason for it. And we don't really know exactly why they did it. But that's not, you know, exactly what's happening in the anime case. But I feel like he kind of knows, you know, these people are just following what they think they know, not what they really know, but not what's the actual truth, right? And so that's why he's going to give them
true.
Yeah, he's going to give them that mercy and just be like, man, like, I don't like it, but I'm going to do it.
Also, I think through the saving of the city of Lute, this phrase really shines like beautifully for me, and it's actions speaking louder than words. Like, all these three heroes, they're just like babbling on like, I'm the hero, I'm gonna be the best hero, gonna save all the women, save all the children, like save the city and everything. But in reality, all they were focused on was beating the boss, gaining levels, and looking cool, being cool, like as if they were playing an actual game. Whereas Naofumi, he's been betrayed by basically the world, right? Except for Rathalia. But he decides to have mercy and show grace upon the city of Lute, and he goes for what really matters. And in the long run, like, no matter how other people might view you because of the gossip that they might have heard, like, over time, if Naofumi and his party like does all like these deeds like D-E-D-S. Like, slowly, like, they're gonna know. Surely they're gonna see his heart and what he's made out of and his true character.
I think that's so true. Showing love and grace towards others, no matter what's going down. Actions speaking louder than words. I think that's a very interesting thing that happens in this anime. And it's very well done because it's true. That's what happens in life. Even when you're wronged, depending on how you respond, even the person who wronged you, you know, might be changed in that action of love that you have towards them. So I think it's always a good thing to think about, you know, how can we act in love and grace even when we're faced with injustice? What would Shield Hero do?
Ooh, man. WWSHD.
WWSHD. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We're so glad that everyone could join us. Holly's on Instagram at AnimePopHeart. Peter's on Twitter at PeteringPeter. And you can follow me, David, on my Instagram at PressingTowardsTheGoal. While we are the podcast team for Beneath the Tangles, we also have many other platforms where you can reach us. Follow us at BeneathTheTangles.com, at AnimeTangles on Twitter, at AnimePopHeart on Instagram, and by searching for Beneath the Tangles on Facebook. Everyone, thanks so much for listening. Remember, no matter what we go through, let's strive to love all the people around us and show grace where we can. Plus Ultra.